A lot of things came to a head this week. A lot of gambling losses, a lot of parlays blown, a lot of fantasy leagues decided. Sal and I went head to head in ours. We're going to make fun of each other in 1 second. It's the Bill Simmons Podcast presented by FanDuel. Take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse. And bet live same-game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com. This episode is brought to you by Simply Safe. While you refresh your space and take care of your spring cleaning, now's a great time to look into Simply Safe Home Security. It's the only home security I use, and I can't recommend it enough, especially as we head toward the summer when people disappear, when they go on vacations, when they go do things, and you don't want to leave your house or your apartment on its own. You deserve some peace of mind. Get 20% off your system today when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/BS. There's no safe like Simply Safe. We're also brought to you by TheRinger.com and The Ringer Podcast Network. We'll have a new rewatchables coming on Monday night. Mr. Holland's opus. Mr. Holland takes a beating in this podcast. I'm just warning you now. If you love the rewatchables, the entire archive is available only on Spotify. You can still find everything from the past 60 days on all platforms, including this podcast we have going tomorrow night. If you want to hear everything dated back to 2017, go to Spotify. Spotify's great. You can change speeds. You can listen to me at 1.2 speed. That is what the scouts say is my best speed, 1.2. That's where I really thrive. It's that little extra oomph that I need. Anyway, Cousin Sal coming up in 1 second. This is going to be a very lively podcast. I'm just warning you now. First, our friends from Pearl Jam. All right, taping this at 8:15 Pacific time, Sunday night. Cousin Sal is here. He just beat me in our Keeper Fantasy League. We'll save that till the tail end. You don't care.
Sure, whatever. I don't care.
No, the listeners don't care. I know you care. The listeners don't care.
No, they care. Everybody cares.
This is the wackiest heading into Week 17 podcast I think we've ever done because there's more playoff teams. And it's so hard to keep track of. I don't even know where to begin. We're going to save that for later, too. Let's start here. Did Rodgers win the MVP tonight?
Oh, I guess he did. I don't know. What do you like more, touchdowns or yards? Like, you know, Mahomes has like 500-600 more yards. Rodgers has more touchdowns, seems in more control of his offense. And, you know, got a lot of one-yard touchdowns in there. I don't know. I think whatever. Neither of these teams without these players makes the playoffs. So what do you go by anymore, right? You just got to pick your favorite stats, I guess, right?
It felt like all Mahomes had to do was have a couple pars on the back nine and he won the MVP.
Yeah.
And he just did it. They weren't that good the last couple of weeks. I don't know what happened to them today.
It reminded me of De La Hoya Trinidad. I was like, he just stopped fighting the last couple of rounds. And a lot of people, by the way, Chiefs fans are becoming the worst. Do you find that too? Do you have any Chief fan friends in your life? Like, I can't tell.
No,
like,
thank God. No.
You should be a little worried. I don't know. Like, oh, they're going through the motions. Like, yeah, but you know, this is like 2 months in a row where they're going through the motions. I feel like 6 or 7 teams could beat them. Like, I'll cut it out. They get so mad. And meanwhile, Mahomes, if they are going through the motions, he cost himself the award probably.
Yeah. Well, they do weird stuff too. Explain that 4th-and-1, whatever the fuck happened with the wide receiver screen. Like,
that was bizarre.
Pat Mahomes. You're getting every 4th-and-1. All you have to do is roll him out and roll Tyreek Hill to that side or Kelsey, and you're getting a first down. What are you doing? They seem bored. We were texting during the game, and they seem bored. It seems like they're intentionally trying to challenge themselves for the last 45 minutes of the game.
Speaking of seeming bored, Hench seems really bored. He set the record for text today. I mean, I know you've been through some Red Sox marathons with him, but my God, it was about 250 texts. But yeah, that 4th down.
I like it.
They seem bored. I love it too, but they seem bored. But do you want to show all your trick plays when you're bored? Is that what you do? I don't know. I think you run a bull two wedge up the middle if you're bored.
we both think Mahomes is the best player in the league and the most important player in the league and the most talented player in the league. And he's on a team that is going to lose one game all year. I don't want to overreact because I don't really care who wins the MVP. And I don't think it's like the NBA where it like really, really matters. And the NFL doesn't matter quite as much. But this does feel a little Karl Malone, Michael Jordan-ish to me. Even though Rodgers has a ring, he's more vaulted in his career, more vaunted, he's vaulted both, and vaunted.
Yeah.
He's both. Mm-hmm. So I don't mean to demean him by comparing him to the mailman who failed to show up in a lot of games over the years. But it just feels like everybody's kind of talking themselves into Rodgers more because they're either bored by Mahomes and the Chiefs or disappointed. And those don't feel like good reasons to me because the Chiefs are going to go 15-1 and Mahomes is the most talented player in the league and he threw for way more yards. And Rodgers does have a knack at, like, he has piled up these touchdowns when you're watching it where it's like, oh, he sneaks this one out, 3-yarder, 7-yarder. But they're not like these game-breaking touchdowns. I don't know. It doesn't feel right to me that he's the MVP.
It's close. I'm not going to scream about it. It's pretty close. But I don't know. Did Mahomes do enough to lose it? He was such a big favorite. He was like minus 550 2 weeks ago. He's minus 250 going in today. And all he did was win. You know, all he does is keep winning, you know? So,
doesn't 15-1, shouldn't that ultimately be what decides this though?
Probably pretty good.
And the
good one
game they lost was an idiotic game where they just gave up 40 points to the Raiders. But even that game, you can't really hang that one on him.
Yeah, right. I will say he threw a bunch in the Falcons defenders' hands today. But honestly,
he did.
You and I both think he's the best. But I don't mind Rodgers. I knew this game would be, you get a lot of momentum, get a lot of exposure, and that could be enough to put him over the top. The snow, people like different things. So I don't know who's voting on this stuff, but it was a typical Rodgers game that, you know, he wanted the numbers in the first half and he did it.
What's the record of teams that are cold weather teams when there's snow playing a team from a place like Tennessee? I kind of realized that 2 minutes into the game. Like those guys in Tennessee, it's not like they're dealing with snow.
Right.
Whereas like the dudes in Wisconsin, it's like Thursday to them, you know?
Remember,
it's like,
oh shit. When we were growing up, like Tampa Bay hadn't won a game in 20 degree or lower or less temperature in 35 attempts or something. Yeah, it's a real thing. Although I don't know, they might have made too much about it. They're like, oh, this team plays in the snow. Like, how much did a lot of those guys play in the snow this week?
Right.
They're not practicing in the snow, but it
right.
Does
those
seem
teams
to work
have
out.
A ton of turnover too. I don't mean to seem like we're shitting on Rodgers because I think he's had an incredible season. He's 37 years old.
Yeah.
I personally felt like he didn't have this type of season in him anymore. I just worry about we get to late January and they get knocked out in round two and Mahomes and the Chiefs are 10-point favorites in the Super Bowl. And we're like, oh man, really? Why did we not give the MVP
this
to Mahomes?
This is where we were last year.
Let's all be careful. Let's not go with the narrative. Let's go with who the best one is. And also, let's not really care. Before we get to all the playoff scenarios, which are incredibly complicated, let's tackle these in no particular order. The NFC East. You tried to cross off your team on this podcast for weeks and weeks and weeks, and now your team is in the driver's seat. Washington has some dude named Heineken playing quarterback.
The other one is
drinking Heineken's in a strip joint. And the other one has one leg. Those are the three Washington quarterbacks. You're going to make the playoffs.
NBC loves that game enough that they're making it the Sunday night game, Washington, Philadelphia. I don't remember the last time this happened where they made the game. It's usually both teams need to have something to play for to be the Sunday night game, right? That's usually how they do it. I thought always that's how they did it. Did they call an audible when Goff's injury with his thumb injury? Because I thought it would be Rams Cardinals was the only game that kind of mattered to both teams. But here we are.
Do you think they were afraid that if the Bears lose, then the Cardinals can make it if they win. But if the Bears win, it gets a little hairier for the Cardinals and maybe it sounds like they just went for the sexiest,
I guess,
big city matchup, right?
I guess. I mean, if you would have thought Jalen Hurts against Heineken, that's the marquee matchup for week 17, and the winner has like 7 wins. I don't know.
Heineken was throwing frozen ropes. I thought he got killed by a couple drops, but I thought he was pretty good. Your division. First of all, the Eagles, what a disgrace. They're up 14-3. Mm. And every time after your team scored, they had a cornerback. I can't remember his name, but they showed the stats against him at one point, and he had like single-handedly given up over 180 yards
right
receiving, and they said it was like the record for this year or something. They're just showing him on the sideline. Nobody's within 5 feet of him.
Right,
it's pretty tough.
Well, and they, Fletcher Cox going out is big. They, I mean, the Cowboys, I think, outscored them like 31-10 after Fletcher Cox went out. So that's a huge loss on the defensive end. But man, it looked like that's a game that the Cowboys would have given up in week 8, going down 10 or more to Philadelphia, and Hurts kind of running the offense, doing whatever he wanted with them. But damn it, Andy Dalton was good. I don't know what to do with this team. I want to give up on him. I gave up before Thanksgiving. I gave up on Thanksgiving, and now they're back. And so
do the Pacino. Just do it. Give it to us.
What do you mean? What is it? Which one?
No, just what I thought I was out. They pull me back in.
They really do. And it's stupid because Tampa's going to put up 4 touchdowns against us in the first half if it comes to that in 2 weeks. But
hold on. You're kind of overlooking one subplot with what happened today your team. Zeke Elliott came out of his coma.
Right.
That was the Zeke Elliott who got the $100 million extension that we haven't seen for 2 years, and I thought maybe he was gone. And he was running with like legitimate vigor and looked like Zeke Elliott again. So if you have that guy in round one against Tampa, plus with you know, the receivers who can pretty much, you have 3 receivers that can break a 50-yard pass at any point. And if you have Zeke running like that and then Pollard coming in to rest him, there's a recipe of you controlling the ball. Like, I don't think it's absurd.
Stop it. I will say, Zeke, I think, like, you know, he heard everyone like scrambling saying, Pollard's as good as you are. And he's like, oh, man, that's stupid. Then he saw it last week. Like, oh, man, Pollard might be as good as I am, Tony Pollard. And then he went out and actually reacted like a human being would. But I think if it came to it, this is look cart way before the horse here, that Dallas's defense would resemble the Lions defense more, and you'd see what Tampa did to them. It wouldn't be pretty. I don't want to lose to Tampa. Just bow out next week, Cowboys. That's fine.
Some people are saying you might be the best 7-9 playoff team ever. It was a lead conversation on SportsCenter today.
I can't believe the division leader fought back to 7-9. That's pretty impressive.
So in the NFC, we have Green Bay, New Orleans, and Seattle who have all clinched. And it looks like it's going to be that order, because unless Green Bay loses to Chicago, which is conceivable next week, Tampa has also clinched a wild card. NFC East is wide open, and they will be playing Tampa, it looks like. And then we have this weird Rams, Bears, Cardinals trifecta.
Right.
With the distinct possibility that Goff and Trubisky might be in the playoffs along with Heineken or Alex Smith or Haskins. We might have 3 really shaky quarterbacks. We could talk about Goff later, but...
Really shaky, as in they all belong in the shaky bowl. But yeah, you're right. Like, I don't know. Yeah, what do you do with that? The Bears are kind of back there. They play the Packers. The Packers are not necessarily the one yet. They have to beat the Bears to get... Because they don't want a three-way tie with New Orleans and Seattle might not be great for them.
And that's with this extra playoff seed. It just feels like every game has these 2 other wrinkles that I don't remember being used to. Like Green Bay, Chicago, good example. Green Bay wins, they're the 1 seed. Chicago wins, they somehow make the playoffs, which seemed inconceivable 5 weeks ago. And then you have the Cardinals kind of lingering with this Rams game, which could be a borderline loser leaves town match if Chicago beats Green Bay.
Right.
So we usually don't have this many.
I thought it would be decided. Honestly, I thought the AFC would be decided last week. I thought teams like the Dolphins would go away, and the Raiders did go away, but Dolphins won a crazy one Saturday night to stay in there.
Let's talk about the 2 Saturday games, because the fuckface Cardinals. I am now, you know, like the do not admit list that nightclubs have?
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, don't let that guy in. He started a huge fight 2 months ago. His picture's on the wall. I think I might have to start a do not bet list, because I had money on multiple people this weekend that you just feel like a schmuck. Like, I'm never betting on Cliff Kingsbury again, ever. I'm never doing it. He is a top 3 worst coach in the league. I knew this, and I still put money on him. But holy shit, How many times can they run the no huddle offense while at the same time using up 39 of the 40 seconds of the play clock?
Yeah, that's bad.
The terrible fourth and two calls. They have this incredible nuclear weapon in Kyler Murray, who anytime he wants can run for 11 yards. And they're getting cute and doing weird stuff and putting in position to like have passes tipped left and right. Mm-hmm. So let's start with that team. Never again, Sal.
I have a list and it goes, there's like 35 teams on it. Never bet again. So I have to redo the list because then I'm not just not betting football anymore. All these teams have screwed me, but I get it with Arizona. It's so frustrating. And like Nuke Hopkins, and it helps because you had Murray and Hopkins in your fantasy league. And
that's why I lost.
It really was, but Hopkins, and I know this is how it is for receivers, but he's had seven games under 70 yards. So this is, I don't know. I feel like if he's not on, that could be like a bottom seven, bottom eight team, Arizona with them. They play okay defense, nothing great. And I just wonder, though, with the running quarterbacks, do you think like a Josh Allen, you think like a Kyler Murray, you think a Tua says to their coach, hey, coach, I don't want to run. Just don't put a lot of running plays in for me. Because that could happen. That could be what's going on.
Like he doesn't want to get hurt?
I think so. Otherwise, it just defies logic. Kyler Murray should be running on third and five every single time or have the option to do so. Same with Tua. So a lot of these guys, like I don't see why that's not an option. And then they have to roll the dice on fourth down. But yeah, that was not pretty with Arizona. They blew up a lot of teasers. Gambling gods gave it too easy, right? They gave us the Saints on Friday. They gave us Tampa Saturday morning. And then they're like, okay, now we're going to really screw you. You want to take Arizona on a money line? Go crazy.
Well, and also it's Christmas, right? So I had Arizona. I got crushed $1 million picks, which I knew was going to happen because I did it on like Wednesday. But then it's Christmas. You're not paying attention to stuff. Yeah. Put on the game and it's like, oh, there's George Kittle. George Kittle's playing?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I thought he had a fractured foot and their season was over. Why the fuck is he out there?
Yeah. Now,
George Kittle's out there. And as soon as I saw him, I'm like, uh-oh. And then the Cards do all the Cliff Kingsbury stuff. And he's just not a good coach. He's just not. And you think like they steal that Hail Mary game. Mm-hmm. And then last week one of the things is that game threw me off, that Eagles-Cards game, because it was this exciting game. And it's like, oh, actually, both of these teams suck. And the Cardinals look good against the Eagles because the Eagles have the worst secondary in the league, as we found out this week.
Right.
And then the Eagles look good because they're playing the Cardinals, who aren't that good. I was shocked they couldn't block the Niners at all. The Niners weren't playing for anything. They've been in Arizona for a month.
The Niners play defense, man. You talk about Sal, like the coaches that should be moving on. Like the Niners, if you look at their record, like they don't let up back-to-back games, really. If they give up like 30 one week, they'll give up 14 the next week. Just look at their schedule. They've really come to play. And if they screw you the week before, they're not going to do it again. And then that running back, what was it, Wilson, like at 183 yards? Like that's indefensible at this point for Arizona.
Well, and then the other other frustrating piece was they played Buffalo, what, 2 weeks ago? When was that?
No.
When Buffalo spreads them out, the Niners.
Oh, the Niners. Yeah, I thought you meant, yeah.
Buffalo spreads them out.
Oh, yeah.
And they cannot cover any receiver. And they have no running back. They have Josh Allen back there, so he's a mm-hmm. run threat. Spread them all out. And Robert Saleh, who this guy's the next head coach. They're just getting torched.
Yep.
Cliff Kingsbury, the genius, watches that tape and is like, let me not do that. I'm not going to emulate that at all. Has a running back in there the whole time. Is doing like this weird, short, dumb mm-hmm. pass. Oh, man.
This is what I mean. We're missing something. We're missing some kind of locker room discussion or something with Kyler Murray where he says, like, look, coach, I know I can run for an easy first down every drive, every five plays, but, you know, let's roll the dice a little.
Well, they're on my do not bet list. And then mm-hmm. the Dolphins, Raiders, Tua is also on my do not bet list. I had the money line though with the bet with them. Mm. At halftime, I just thought Fitz was coming in. And whether Tua is good or not, I have no idea. He's a rookie. You know, Mahomes didn't play for a year. Not to say that he's Mahomes, but they threw Tua in right away. He's coming off a hip injury. Mm. He doesn't scramble. He doesn't seem like he has any ability at all to throw deep. It seems like unless he's a little like Trubisky, like unless everything that he thought was going to happen in the play in the first 2 seconds happens, it's going to be a complete disaster. And at halftime, it's like, oh, they're trying to make the playoffs. They got to take this guy out. He's 10 for 13 for 20 yards.
Right.
No, kept him in whole third quarter. Then they finally bring Fitz in, who throws for 180 yards in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's the disparity between those two guys. And yet they still shouldn't have won. It comes down to Fitz with this crazy face mask, Keeve, and the Raiders have nobody covering a dude with 12 seconds left.
But we can't give Fitzmagic enough credit for that. That might have been the best completion of all time based on the circumstances. I mean, his head was spun all the way around and he dropped it right in the bucket, inbounds, and plus the 15 yards. And that was the only way the Raiders really could lose that game. I know you thought they should run it in. I had Jacobs in fantasy. I would have liked that. But I was like, you know what? As long as the kick is good, they're fine. 19 seconds. Only what happened is what could have happened for them to lose. But yeah, I agree with you with Tua. Like, you know, Flores is like, make no mistake about it. He's our guy. Like, who's making the mistake here? Because you put in Mariano Rivera every single time. Like, how long is Fitzpatrick going to be on the roster? Like, I agree with you. Tua will be good down the road, but they seem like they're running plays for him. Like, that's a guy they're protecting. He doesn't scramble at all, and he doesn't throw downfield ever. You're right. Those stats, at one point, he was like 10 for 13 for 46 yards or something. And you got idiots like Kurt Warner saying, you take what they give you on defense. Like, no,
throw downfield. Yeah,
yeah. You're throwing 3 yard short passes, and you're getting third and three, and then it's a coin flip whether or not you're punting or not on the second thing. So, yes, if your attitude is, look, we're not going to win the Super Bowl anyway, let Tua get some playoff, you know, experience, that's one thing. But if you want to make a run in January, Fitzpatrick's your guy. It's not like he's terrible in the first half, Fitzpatrick, and that's why he's not in until the second half. It's bizarre.
It's also amazing that Ryan Fitzpatrick, career journeyman, who's been on 1,000 teams, is completely dusting Tua like this.
Right.
And they're like, oh, these guys are friends. It's like, well, it's amazing because Fitzpatrick's three times better than him this season. My son and I were watching Bloodsport the other day, and that scene at the end when Van Damme, after he beats Chong Li, and then he goes to see Ogre in the hospital.
Yeah.
To bring him back the bandana.
Mm-hmm.
And Van Damme, like one of the worst actors of all time. And Ogre, and they have kind of a moment. And Ogre looks like he's Robert De Niro in this scene. Like he's really like great. And it's like, yeah, he's great because he's acting next to Van Damme.
Like,
he of course he looks awesome. Van Damme's like a fucking mannequin.
Right.
same thing with Tua and Fitzpatrick. Fitzpatrick seems like he's a million times better because Tua goes in, he can't really do anything.
I don't know why we're afraid to say it. All the announcers are dancing around it. They're like, the Dolphins have a great thing in this platoon and this 1-2 punch.
No,
with Tua,
it's not a great thing.
What? Yeah. No.
They have an awesome defense.
If Tua were consistent, it wouldn't be a great thing. They would just leave him in. That would be that.
Listen, there's an easy out with this. He had a major, major injury last year and he doesn't look right. And he hasn't had enough reps yet. I mean, I'm not saying he's never going to be good. I'm just saying he's not good. And
he'll be good.
They're a playoff team in a division that if you go on down the line, Buffalo's playing the best. Mm-hmm. Everyone else is beatable, including the Chiefs. The Chiefs are sitting there waiting to get upset by somebody. Pittsburgh's a mess.
I know we'll get to
Tennessee just got killed.
If you're Pittsburgh and you were looking at a 2 seed, isn't the Dolphins the number one team you want to play with Tua at quarterback? Like, it's the only team that you could maybe score 20 points and win. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's take a break and we'll break down the AFC. This episode is supported by State Farm. Your first reaction after an accident, probably a swear. Your first reaction after you lease or buy a car and you get into it for the first time, probably just sheer delight. Really, the only words you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to somebody. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com. This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer partner of the NBA. It's just what you need to sit back and enjoy the game, and they're also getting fans closer to the game than ever. You can win exclusive NBA prizes like courtside seats, signed memorabilia, and more. I love Michelob because of how light it is. It's only 95 calories with 2.6 carbs. You know what the perfect time for Michelob Ultra is? A little doubleheader, a little NBA doubleheader. Right? First half of the first game. I don't know. West Coast time, that's usually about 5 o'clock, 5:30. Perfect time for a beer. You can do it. Grab a pack to enjoy today. Learn more and enter for your chance to win at MichelobUltra.com/courtside. LDA 21 and up.
I feel like we let the Raiders off the hook a tiny bit there, because if you had in the previous segment, because if you had the Raiders money line, that was about as devastating of a loss as you're going to have.
I had the under. The under, too. It was like 13-13 with 5 minutes left. It's stupid. Stupid.
Yeah, the Raiders, I think, were involved in the most dumb games this year.
Yeah, right? For sure.
They were involved in at least five reprehensibly dumb games. Mm-hmm. All right, so the AFC, Pittsburgh comes roaring back and beats Indianapolis, the team that I had wagered on and did million-dollar picks on. I'm up 24-7. Roethlisberger, we're texting at halftime, like, are they going to bench him? Who's their backup? Guy can't complete a pass. They've completely lost it. They have no energy. No team had ever gone 11-0 and then lost their next four. I got to be honest. I wrote them off. I didn't think Indianapolis was going to blow that. It seemed like they were running. They're getting 5 yards, whatever way they wanted. It seemed like they had figured out, don't let Rivers get strip sacked or anything dumb. Don't let him beat us. Just kind of keep going forward. And we got this. And then second half starts. And it was like Roethlisberger drank like a fucking 64-ounce Gatorade HGH. Yeah. And all of a sudden was throwing frozen ropes again.
Yeah, he's like, give me all the oxychloroquine, whatever it is that you have. Just inject it into my blood right now. We saw the Undertaker meme a million times on Twitter, but that's exactly what it was. They rose from the coffin. They were dead. He didn't want to throw downfield. He hadn't thrown downfield in weeks. And then all of a sudden, Juju Smith-Schuster, Claypool, Deontay Johnson, all catching passes downfield. It made no sense. It was a stupid game for the Colts to lose. It was a stupid game for you to bet to lose on the Colts, because the Steelers were dead to rights. I still don't know what was wrong, why they gave us a whole December worth of short passes and no pump fakes and nothing out of Big Ben. And now he's on top of the world again.
I have one thing that was different. I noticed it in the second half, and the announcers mentioned it too. He started taking hits. He was holding the ball for the extra second. I don't think he wanted to get hit in like the previous four or five games. And I think in this one, because their backs were to the wall, he was like, fuck it. Yeah. And he stood in there and he took some big hits and it was kind of like the punishment he was taking seemed to, like, it was like the Undertaker.
Yeah.
It was like when somebody's hitting the Undertaker WrestleMania, yeah, and he's just like rises. But he all of a sudden became Roethlisberger again. And it's crazy, because the crazy part to me, it wasn't even that they came back offensively, is that the Colts couldn't score.
Right.
I mean, they didn't score. They were up 24-7. They didn't score again.
Yeah, that was it. They were
done. I didn't get it.
It
seemed like they were running the ball, too. It was a weird one. Frank Reich's had a couple of those where you're kind of going, wait, what are you guys doing?
You know, when you're Phil Rivers and you have Christmas with 9 kids, so you got to think they woke up at like 4:30 in the morning and you're stepping on Legos and you already have a toe injury left and right. And I don't know. It finally caught up to him. I don't know what happens. And now they're on the outside looking in. By the way, what's weird is all these Browns fans like, yeah, we're going to win the division. We're going to win the division. The Steelers did the Browns a huge favor by knocking the Colts to the 8th spot now.
Right.
And we'll probably, it looks like they'll be doing them a favor next week by sitting all their starters against the Browns in a game that the Browns need to win. So it's crazy how it all ends up.
Well, that was the other nutty thing about the Colts thing. It wasn't like this was some random week 13. Oh, we kind of lost our eyes on the prize for a second.
Yeah.
This was a must-win game, and they're now in the 8th spot, and they're not going to make the playoffs because for whatever reason, they completely fell apart. And I don't understand why they weren't running the ball in the second half. They have good running backs. I went and looked at the stats. They were like 5 yards a carry, Taylor and Hines.
Right.
It's really weird. So that was strange. The other one was the Cleveland Jets game, which if you're making parlays during the COVID season before more than 24 hours before the game, this is a great example why not to do that.
It's good advice.
All of a sudden, there are no Cleveland wide receivers.
Right.
They're promoting practice squad people. And I was just like, I thought it was great for me because I started Chubb and Hunt against you. I'm like, this is awesome. They're going to carry the ball 100 times.
Yeah.
Nope.
By the way, why did they stop? Didn't Baker throw 53 times? They weren't down 40 points. They should have run a lot more in the
second
and third quarter.
It was such a weird game plan. I think Stefanski's done a really good job this year. This was the first game I've seen from them where I didn't know what they were doing, because I just felt like I would have played Chubb and Hunt together. Instead, they were in the 12,
right,
with the two tight ends, But they in the fourth quarter, they were like almost like no huddle, fast pace. And it's like, you can't do that with multiple tight ends. That's going to be easy. I don't know. The whole thing was weird. I just saw that cream on the field.
The whole awards section, it was strange today. It was like Mahomes is like, get this MVP away from me. Joe Judge is like, coach of the year. Come on. I can't. Stefanski did the same. Like, no, yeah. It's not my award. Don't give it to me. Flores a couple times. Same thing the other day, even though they ended up winning. But it's going to be interesting to see who gets the nod there.
Well, and then the poor Jets fans who basically got all of their money stolen out of their savings account last week. But the accountant's like, hold on. I think there's one move we could make.
Right.
Don't think it's gone yet. I have one call, and then they'd win again.
Well, they're locked in the two now, right?
Or they're locked in now.
Yeah, now
but
they
could have at least lingered and hoped like Jacksonville's playing Indianapolis in week 17. And then Jacksonville's playing Chicago. Everyone and their brother has Chicago in a tease.
Right.
And it's 10-10. Trubisky throws what would have been the worst pick of the day if Jared Goff didn't play professional football today. So Jacksonville gets the ball back into the first half. They're on like their own 20 with 20 seconds left. And it was like Shad Khan called in the order. Like, we're throwing a pick on this play. They throw it right to Chicago. Chicago gets a field goal. They end up winning by like 30. But that was pretty fishy.
So scatterbrained whether they were tanking or trying. And it would turn on a dime within 30 seconds. By the way, maybe Doug Marrone wins coach of the year. He's the only one who played it right by losing.
Tanking or trying would have been a fun game show for this game. So for if sure. I give you Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Tennessee, Miami, Baltimore, Cleveland, Indianapolis, what team do you like the most out of those eight? Because mine would be Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. You know, it changes week to week, but Buffalo is the scariest because we talked about it last week where, you know, so what's the bar? You got to beat the Chiefs, right? So do you do it the way the Raiders did it and score 30 points but limit the Chiefs' possessions? Or can you slug it out with the Chiefs? I actually thought Tennessee might be a team that could slug it out with the Chiefs. I guess maybe not now, but Buffalo can just be like, just give us what you got. We'll go possession for possession and we'll score 45 and you score 42. So Buffalo is the one that scares me the most.
Well, Buffalo's 11-3 playing the Pats Monday night and then Miami week 17. Pittsburgh's playing Cleveland. If Buffalo wins the last two, they're the two seed because they beat Pittsburgh head to head. And if I'm Buffalo, I want the two seed because then I don't have to see KC until round three. And I can keep my fingers crossed that, you know, maybe something goofy will happen in round two against somebody.
Are they making their own bet, though? Because Buffalo might play Miami in the first round anyway, or they might play Baltimore if they let them in.
But if Buffalo beats Miami in week 17,
I don't know.
Then they get to the two seed,
and
then they knock Miami out, I think.
They would probably knock them out, right? But then you're asking for trouble.
So you're saying, so if you're Buffalo, you're saying you would tank, get Miami in the playoffs.
You know, it ends up being, you don't want to tank, right? Because you don't want to fall to three seed. You don't want to have to go to Pittsburgh if it gets to the second round, right? So I guess you try. I guess you start everyone.
I like what Buffalo has going now. They're a team that week after week has taken care of business. I don't know if I would want to screw that up if I was them. The Colts piece of it. So now, look, the playoff scenarios are so effing complicated, but the Colts definitely need one of Miami, Cleveland, Baltimore to lose. Or if they win and they play the Jaguars, so they're going to, and Tennessee loses to the Texans, they win the AFC South. So they go from being the eighth seed right now to they could actually win the AFC South now. So they could be anywhere from a four seed to out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
Or potentially even a seven seed. So that's weird. And are they scheduling this where all of it's at the same time or are they staggering it? So it's
no,
less
they
confusing?
Have, they have like 5 4-25 games, 6 4-25 games. No, I'm sorry. There's 8 4-25 games. There's
that's
a lot
good.
Of them. Yeah. Yeah. That's no, they're trying to make it like no one could scoreboard watch, but it's inevitable. That Texans Titans game could be good. Titans won that in overtime. If the freaking Texans didn't fumble their last possession every game, they would have a something that resembled a normal record.
Well, it looked like Watson got hurt, and then all of a sudden he was fine.
Yeah, yeah. But, I was watching. I was the only idiot in the country who had Texans on a money line. Everyone else is betting real teams, but
you had the Texans on a money line.
Of course, I did. Yeah, Yeah, I didn't think Cincinnati, drunk, hungover from the Steelers win Monday night, and all of a sudden they're it's Joe Montana back there taking snaps to the Bengals.
Well, Buffalo has won 7 of their last 8. The only one they lost was that Arizona game, the Hail Mary.
Right.
They're going to beat the Pats tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
And then Miami, week 17, it's in Buffalo, division rival. I assume they're going to try. I don't know why they would throw that game. I would want to be the 2 seed. I would want to play the worst wild card. I would want to have the momentum.
But the Steelers
and
are
then
sitting,
avoid
guys.
The Chiefs.
The Steelers are sitting everybody, I think.
Well, that's just because they, I think because they've had a lot of, would they play 5 games in December?
Yeah, I guess so. They didn't have a true bye. So, yeah.
Yeah. So we have Mitch Trubisky, which is great for you. You've been a Trubisky truther for a long, long time. I actually saw on the highlight show today, they were talking about this Bears offense. Nobody's playing better right now. I'm like, calm down. They beat the Jaguars. Settle down. But Mitch does look a little better. You
got to
be excited.
Well, I got Glazer. What is it? Glazer is calling plays. So it's not all Mitch. Like that happened a few weeks ago. He's calling the offensive plays. Montgomery, like we said, was good for like 1.7 yards a carry. And now he's busting through for touchdowns. David Montgomery. So
yeah.
The offense is all of a sudden fun. I have, in a way, I'm proud of Mitch because I'm a Trubiskaholic, but I'm not happy for us because I don't think that's an automatic bet against in the playoffs for us. I know you were excited. If they're a 7 seed and they're playing, who's the 2 now? Seattle, let's say?
How many games in a row do you think they lost this year?
14. No, I don't know. Was it 4 or 5? No, they were, hold on, I know this. They were 5-1, right? And then they were 5-6? Was it worse?
They lost. They lost 6 straight games.
6 in a row. Yeah.
And then in week 14, they beat Houston 36-7.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Minnesota 33-27, and they beat Jacksonville 41-17. In week 14, they lost to Detroit 34-30. They almost won that game. So they've scored 30 plus in 4 straight, but against Detroit, Houston, Minnesota, Jacksonville. Now, they're playing Green Bay in a must-win game. I don't feel like Green Bay's going to roll over if they can get the 1 seed.
No, they're going to want the 1 seed. You saw how intimidating they are in the snow and everything at home. I think we should examine that at some point, that there's no home field advantage yet. All the teams that always win at home are fucking great at home still. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to look at this. Like, Buffalo's 6-1, Pittsburgh 7-1 at home. The Chiefs are 6-1. They'll win next week. They'll be 7-1. Green Bay 7-1 at home. Seattle 7-1 at home without the 12th man. Like, I don't know. I think there is still a home field advantage. Guys don't get like getting on planes and shit, and got some of these older quarterbacks don't want to travel. I think there's a home field advantage this year.
Did you see there's a stat going around that Trubisky and Deshaun, I think Trubisky has 1 win more than Deshaun as a starter.
Yeah. His first 40 games or something. I know.
It's great. Great stuff. So the playoff matchups look like this right now. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, Buffalo, Baltimore, Tennessee, Miami. And then all that's going to change because there's teams playing each other.
Right.
If the season ended today in the NFC, New Orleans, Chicago, Seattle and the Rams, a game we just watched, and I don't know if I ever want to watch again. And Washington, Tampa. So out of those choices, what would the Shakey's game be? I feel like it's Washington, Tampa.
You don't think Tennessee, Miami?
I think it's Washington, Tampa.
I would have thought that, but freaking NBC is putting Washington on their primetime Sunday last game of the year thing.
I don't understand that.
Oh, well, that Tom Brady and Shakey's is not, first of all, he would never eat that terrible food. Secondly, I don't know. They put him in the early Saturday spot. I'm not sure.
Tampa was padding some stats on Saturday.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, cool. Oh, cool. The Lions have quit on their coaching staff and now their head coach isn't even here. I'm
coaching
putting up
staff.
Some stats.
They had 2 coaches from CW Post there. They're missing a head coach. They had everyone jump ship for that Lions team. Yeah, that was a good defense to get well against. But he did. I mean, he's throwing to Brown and Godwin and Evans and Gronk killed me with his over touchdowns. So
Peter Schrager texted me during that game and he was like, they're going to keep throwing to Evans because they want him to get 1,000 yards for the season. Mm-hmm. Sure enough, like they're up 30, and they threw to him like four straight times. He had to come out. He was tired.
It's bizarre.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then when we come back, we're going to tell you about Brad Mulcahy's Eliminator Pool, because this was the most fun thing that happened all weekend. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How you doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Are you like me, where you're looking at April and you're just thinking, man, there's a lot of sports. There's a lot of podcast content. There's a lot of stuff to watch. I got to make sure I don't lose control of the narrative here. Got to spend time with the family. Got to unwind. Got to spend time with my friends. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up heading into the summer. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time, but therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And when you're feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can give you the help for the tools you need to take care of yourself and recharge, because a full battery is the key to a full life. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. Switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Bill Simmons today to get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/Bill Simmons. This episode is brought to you by Simply Safe. Whenever someone mentions spring, you can't help but think of the word fresh. Spring brings fresh air, fresh beginnings, freshly cleaned homes. It's also a really great time to take a fresh look at Simply Safe Home Security. I use it in my home and absolutely love it. By the way, summer's coming. No better time to maybe dip in to our friends at Simply Safe than when you're leaving your house, your condo, your apartment, wherever you live. You're probably going to go somewhere for a while. Maybe it's a week. Maybe it's 2 weeks. Guess who's going to know that? Burglars. Simply Safe, great, because it protects your whole home. Uses advanced sensors and a variety of indoor and outdoor cameras. Keep watch over your property day and night. 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. You can even check it out on your phone. Gives you peace of mind. You want peace of mind? Try Simply Safe today. Risk-free, no contract, 60-day money-back guarantee. Get 20% off your system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring at simplysafe.com/BS. That's simplysafe.com with two I's, simplysafe.com/BS. There's no safe like Simply Safe. All right, we're going to do all the guest the lines in a second, and there are a lot of complications, and I almost have to have a cup of coffee. So many things are going on. But before it's a lemon sorbet. It's like the 8-course meal where we're going to pass you the sorbet for a little palate cleanser. Mm. Our friend Brad, the most insane person either of us know, was in an elimination pool where how many people were left? 39?
There was started with 5,290 people. Before this week, there were 34 remaining. And after the early games, he was one of 10 people left.
So he had Bears, Jaguars with the early game.
And then the Bears to win, right?
Late game, it could have been either team on Cowboys, Eagles, because he hadn't used those teams.
Right, correct.
So then
he used Cowboys last week. He could have used Washington this week. So he stayed away from Washington, smart, which knocked out another four. So really, before his game, whatever you want to count it, there's like five people left.
He's up 14-3 with the Eagles. And yeah, we're texting like, what is this? This is like a Nick Cage movie. this is like one of those alternate universe things where Brad wins a lot of money. Who are we the most afraid of?
Right.
The people he owes, like what he's going to do with it. Where's he going to keep it? It just, there's so many variables.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways he could have lost the money in a way. Like, we don't root for anyone to not succeed, but we do appreciate the fact that he is where he is, because if he had a lot of money, he could gamble it away. God forbid it could go on, you know, hard
on a bender,
whatever, a bender. Also, the government, you know, his paycheck's been garnished for, he's the kind of guy who just gets like racks up parking tickets and never pays them. And so the government's always after him. So it's like, he's going to get this money and someone's going to knock at his door and it's going to send them off. Like you said, like, I didn't know what to root for here. I wanted him to win. And then part of me was like, should we just pull together money and buy him out of this? Because this is, I think that's our best scenario here, other than like a GoFundMe. I don't know.
Well, we did a whole long podcast with Brad on your old Against All Odds feed. Not the the new one you have is Against All Odds Extra Points. The old
blue,
one, it's still up.
One. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. It's still up if you want to hear Brad's complete life story. It was the most popular podcast we ever did on that feed.
Yeah.
We both still get emails about it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Brad's out. So how many people are left?
There's like four people left, and he's not one of them. And he's despondent. I don't know what to tell him. I mean, he had to figure out that NFC East. That was it. Like, he bet against the Jets. He picked against the Jaguars every week as long as he could. And then it came down to he had all the NFC East teams. Like, you can't figure that out 2 weeks in a row. And that's what he had to do.
It's very actually sad. Illegal to figure it out 2 weeks in a row.
Right.
And then we might as well do our fantasy league thing now. So we went head to head in the keeper league. And it came down to, first of all, congratulations. Kyler Murray getting completely outperformed by Aaron Rodgers. It was literally the difference of 10 points, which is what you beat me by.
Well, I'll say this. I'm not celebrating yet because there could be some weird CBS overnight strange shit. And if it does happen, I fully expect to read that Bill Simmons purchased CBS Sportsline for $75 million or something overnight.
That seems high.
There's going to be like a vote dump in the middle of the night. I'm waiting for it. I'm just waiting. But, well, Kamara was the key. I mean, I was about to be the only person in America to lose with Alvin Kamara on my fantasy team. He had like 56 points. But, yeah, you had Murray and you had Hopkins, and you needed like 40 out of them, and you couldn't get it.
I thought I was going to have huge games for both of them. I haven't won a fantasy league in 13 years, and I'm becoming like the like the New York Mets post 86. Last year, I had the best team in our old league. I had the best team by far. Right. I somehow lost. And then this time I lose. And it was even worse than that because I didn't even get to enjoy Sunday because there's this random Friday game and Kamara keeps scoring touchdowns and I'm barely watching because it's Christmas. I have people at my house. And then it's like, he's got five. And then it's like, should they put him back in for six? I'm like, no.
Right.
They're like, oh, it's him and Ernie Nevers. They're the only people with six touchdowns. Like, what is happening? Kamara hasn't done anything for 2 months.
Yeah. Well, let me
just
say. So
you had 54 points before
I was up to like 81% or something. And it got
Oh, my God.
You were 50-50 going because I had nothing out of Lockett. Nothing out of that terrible tight end Everett. I have the second string for the Rams. It got to 50-50. By the Sunday night game, and I had a decision, Rodgers or Josh Allen. I was like, do I want Josh Allen to stick it to his team? That's extra fun. Make him sweat it out. Or do I want to talk about it on the podcast tonight? And when it came, you know, Aaron Rodgers going for the MVP and everything was the difference for me. I'm like, he's going to throw for touchdowns when he could be handing off to Aaron Jones. And, you know, I got to say, it's like it's special to me because I was the last one you asked.
You
to
weren't
join
the
this
last
league.
One. You were
like, hey,
one.
I got one spot left.
No.
I was like, yeah,
you weren't the last one.
I'll get in and I'll beat your ass and that'll be that. But it's good that you lost. It is. It sends a bad message if you win. You quit
if
a
I
league.
Win my own league?
Yeah, you quit a league, you start another league, and then you win. Like, that would send a... What kind
I didn't
of
quit a league.
That?
I got voted out.
Yeah, but then you quit.
You voted
you
me out.
This other
I quit every year.
It sends a bad message to the kids, is all I'm saying. Second place.
What
is
kids?
Nice. Second place is nice. My Cowboys will come in second. You'll come in second. It's fine.
Congratulations.
Thank you, buddy. And thanks
I
for inviting me.
I can't believe Kyler Murray. I can't believe it. He was my guy all year.
Yeah.
And I knew
Hopkins
in the first drive,
the
he had Kirk in the end zone. He overthrew it. They settled for three. I'm like, oh, it's going to be one of these games. Great.
Right.
I'm already down 54 points because Alvin Kamara thought he was Gale Sayers.
I fell for you, man.
No, you definitely didn't. Okay. We're going to do, we're going to try to figure out guest lines.
It's tough.
But before we do that, so Buffalo and New England are facing off in a Monday night showdown. FanDuel Sportsbook giving you a chance to get an even bigger win when you bet the game. For every 2,500 fans who bet on Buffalo to cover, FanDuel Sportsbook will move the line 1 point in Buffalo's favor. There is no limit to how good this line get as long as you can keep putting in the bets. Best of all, we'll pay out at whatever the line lands by kickoff so you don't have to wait in to get in on the action. FanDuel. Giving away money with this offer. Tell your friends, the line can get even bigger. A past example, Milwaukee versus Philly. It opened at Sixers +8.5. It ended at +59.5.
I'm going to guess that covered. If you already have a FanDuel Sportsbook account, just look for the, quote, spread the love, unquote, market to place your bet. And if you've been holding out, here's your chance to start betting on FanDuel with incredible odds. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Be sure to sign up with code BS. That's FanDuel Sportsbook. Promo code BS. Must be 21 plus and present in Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois, Indiana, Colorado, Iowa, Tennessee. Must wager in designated crowdfunding market. Max wager $50. Payout at minus 10. Gambling problem? Call 800-522-4700 in Colorado. 800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 800-GAMBLER in Jersey, Pennsylvania, Illinois. 800-889-9789 in Tennessee. 1800GAMBLER.net in West Virginia.
All right. The categories for Guess the Lines this week are a little different. I separated them into the following.
Oh.
First category is AFC playoff spot on the line. Second one is NFC East on the line. Third one's NFC one seed at stake. Then we have NFC playoff spot on the line, playoff seeding at stake, and then completely, totally fucking irrelevant will be our okay. last category. So we'll start with the AFC playoff spot on the line. Titans.
The relevant one should be Saturday. Keep the Saturday thing going. We'll see Vikings Lions on Saturday. We don't need to mix it up with all the other fun.
Is there a Saturday game?
No, there's not. They put them all Sunday because they get scared. Go ahead. Sorry.
First one, AFC playoff spot on the line. Titans, Texans in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Titans still have not clinched the AFC South.
Crazy.
Titans somehow have not clinched a playoff spot.
Mm-hmm.
I have the Titans by 5.5 in Houston.
Ooh, all right. I said 6.5, and it's 7 as I see it.
Hmm.
And like I said, that game went to overtime last time they played. That could be the upset. Wouldn't that be something?
That's why I went lower, because they've already played and the game came down to the last play.
Yeah, I think they're adding a couple for anybody who absolutely needs to win against a team that doesn't. But
next one, Bills home for the Dolphins. If Miami wins, they are in the playoffs. If they don't win, they can still make it, but they need some help. Mm-hmm. The Bills can get to a 2 seed if they beat New England and then they beat Miami and Pittsburgh loses.
You're doing a
Cleveland.
Good job with this. I have
thank
to
you.
Admit. It's like a thanks. Nice dissertation. Like your professor's watching. All right.
Thank you. I have the Bills favored by 3.5 against the Dolphins.
We split this. I said 4.5. It is 4. I mean, these are going to jump all over the place once we find out who's playing, right?
Well, that was the tough one with this, because if the Bills say, fuck it, we're playing, we're going for a 2 seed, this line goes to 7.
Mm-hmm.
Fitzpatrick? Yes. Fitzpatrick was on Buffalo. I have a vague memory of that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's been on so many teams, I can't keep track.
What did they do? So first of all, these are all division games, right? So they played each other. Bills won 31-28, probably the second, third week of the year. Remember the Dolphins coming up short there. Against Fitzmagic. So it'll be a fun one.
I really like Tua. He's been all over the map this season. He's had 2 games now where it became clear midway through the second quarter that they had to pull him, and they waited an extra hour to do it. He's also had a couple, and in the Rams game, he got annihilated too. He's also had a couple games where he looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, and their weapons, guys have been hurt. Parker's out. They've had 17 starting running backs, the whole thing. But I just think they have to play Fitzpatrick in this game.
I think they blow the playoff spot if they leave Tua in, right? And if they leave him in for the playoffs, Fitzpatrick's not going to probably beat the Chiefs in the AFC championship game, but they could win a game. Dolphins could win a game with Fitzpatrick. I don't see it with Tua.
It would be funny if they like polled all their fans. What do you think we should do? I feel like it'd be 98% would be like, can you play Fitz, please? We want to win a playoff game. Yeah.
It's
like the Dolphins have had a lot of playoff success since Dan Marino retired.
I don't even. Yeah.
I think they've won like 1 playoff game this century. Mm-hmm. I would play Fitzpatrick. If they start Tua, that's insane. Next one is Ravens Bengals. We didn't talk about the Ravens. We can talk about them right here. It's in Baltimore. The Ravens were getting a lot of buzz about the Ravens are back. There's a lot of that going around. Lamar looks like Lamar again. Yeah, he looks like Lamar again when he's playing a shitty team.
Yeah.
I was never concerned about Lamar against bad teams. And this year against bad teams, he still looked good. It's when he plays good defenses that it's a problem.
Well, I was concerned about him when he took a 40-minute bathroom break. But other than that, but no, that was a decent, that was a good win. That was like the game of the year. That's why everybody was like, he's back. That was a coin flip game. I think they were favored by 2 or 3. And that was a great game. I think that people look at that. It was high profile. And then they beat on these crap teams to end the season.
Against the Browns defense that lost to the Jets today?
I know. Everyone's got flaws. What are you going to do?
He put up 34 against your terrible team.
Mm-hmm.
47 on Cleveland, although he wasn't out there for some of it. 40 against Jacksonville and 40 against the Giants. People are like, Lamar's back. I look forward to betting against him in the playoffs.
Let's flip the script. You're the Bills. You're a 2 seed. Who do you want to play the least? Ravens, Dolphins, Colts.
I would want to play the Colts the least because I actually think they're good and they've been really? In their own worst enemy in some of these games. Yeah.
All right. I think Lamar.
Really? You'd be afraid of Baltimore the most?
I think he'll have a little chip on his shoulder if he gets the playoffs.
All right. Let's see it, Lamar. I have for this game, Ravens, 14.5 over Cincy.
Wow. We both went, and you're going to get this too. I said 8, and it's 11.5. Hmm. So you're going to get that.
Win that by half a point.
By half a point.
Wonderful.
All right. Remember that, though, because we're putting that in a money line parlay. Promise.
The Ravens, if they win, they're in the playoffs. If they lose, they're not necessarily out of the playoffs, but they need some help.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns are the most confusing one to me. So Browns are home for the Steelers. Pittsburgh can clinch a 2 seed if Buffalo loses one of the next two.
Right.
Odds are they're not going to lose one of the next two. I could see Pittsburgh not playing anybody in this game. This is why week 17 is the nightmare to bet on. Because this might be Pittsburgh's second string against the Browns.
I could tell you right now, and you'd win the pick, what Vegas and FanDuel are thinking as to whether or not they will start anyone. But yeah. I did not have that information, so I'm not going to give it to you. But go ahead. What do you think of the line is?
Well, I'm going to give you a couple more scenarios.
All right.
The Browns are out if they lose and the Dolphins, Ravens, and Colts win.
Mm-hmm.
There's also weird scenarios where if they lose and the Dolphins lose, but the Ravens and Colts win, they're out. There's like weird tiebreaker shit with them. And I don't know how Tennessee factors into this.
Basically, I don't know either. Yeah.
Basically, Cleveland, just try to win the game. I have the Browns favored by 5 points over the Steelers.
Okay, you're going to get it. I said 4.5. So right now it's 7. So they are for sure thinking that Pittsburgh is sitting everybody.
So what do we make of the Browns? Because they had no receivers today, and it's hard to hang that weird Jets game on them. I didn't love the coaching, but I still feel like I don't know if I'd want to see them in the playoffs because they have some elite players.
I think it's tough to take all your receivers from you. I really do. I think it's really hard to say, hey, this is Austin Hooper. You're going to throw to him 47 times. And that's going to be your recipe.
Who was the other guy who dropped like 7 passes? The other tight end. They were like, he was a Mackey Award winner.
Oh, Njoku? Was it who?
The other guy. There's a third guy who a couple times was open and the ball would just hit his hands. And then like, he was a Mackey Award winner.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's a disaster. And I don't know what to, and what was it? It was a hot tub thing. Like I kind of lost faith in the fact that they were still doing COVID tests. Like, I don't know how it is by you, but I feel like, by you. You're a few miles from me. I feel like a lot of people I know are starting to get it now. And the NFL stopped producing positive tests right when everyone I knew started getting it. And there were gurneys and gift shops and shit like that. Like, what is the NFL doing? Are they just not keeping track anymore? And then this happened, but it happened like in a hot tub. But Jay Glazer said it was a hot tub situation that these four guys became, whatever you want to say, COVID suspicious. One of them got it. They won't say who has it and who just had too much close proximity that had to be taken off the roster. But it gave me a little hope to know that the NFL was playing by rules. But with everyone back next week, I think they win this game. Don't you think?
COVID suspicious is the worst porn movie title I've ever heard. I think they win this game too.
Yeah.
Why is Pittsburgh going to care about this game? What do they care if they're a 2 seed or a 3 seed?
They don't.
They need the rest. They just played 5 games in 20 days.
It's true. They'll always play defense, though. That's the only thing.
The last one, Colts-Jaguars. Colts need one of Miami, Cleveland, Baltimore to lose, but they can also win the AFC South if they win and Tennessee loses. They're playing a really terrible team that doesn't want to win anymore. And it's in Indianapolis. I have the Colts favored by 14 points.
Damn, you get it. I said 12 and a half. It's 13 and a half. Again, we won't get too much money back on that. That's couch cushion change, but money line parlay. Boom.
Easy. All right, so here's how this probably plays out. Titans beat the Texans. Bills beat the Dolphins. Ravens beat the Bengals. Browns beat the Steelers. Colts beat the Jaguars. And if that's the case, ring around the rosy, Miami's out.
Oh, if Miami loses, right. So that's the
I think Miami's the most likely team to lose out of those five.
Well, yes, FanDuel and Vegas will tell you yes, because the line's only four. But I think the Titans, Texans. I'm not betting the Titans anytime soon. I don't like what I saw today.
So you could conceivably, if you're like Miami's gonna be the one that gets bounced, you could bet on Tennessee, Baltimore, Cleveland, Indianapolis, and then on Buffalo as a five-team parlay.
Just
and it's basically
win.
The Miami's going home team. But then you'd be betting against Fitzpatrick in week 17 when he's the Johnny Unitas in week 17.
Right. I forgot about that.
The likely scenario is Miami getting voted out. But I'm with you. Tennessee, I could see. They've had some stinkers this year.
They just look soft for a team that runs all over everybody. I mean, I know they lost that game to the Browns. It ended up being by like 6 points, but they were losing by four touchdowns at half. They were losing this game. Yeah, this game wasn't as close as the one they just played as the final score. And this one you got to catch them on a good week.
You know, the other thing, Houston doesn't have their first or second pick, so it's not like they're trying to tank or do anything for the draft, so they might as well try to win.
I saw that one thing, that Laremy Tunsil is a top, that trade they made for him, that pick is now a top five pick. And the other thing I saw that was weird about picks is the Giants could win the division or draft as high as third.
Seriously?
Is that amazing? Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Some things have to break a certain way, but...
Speaking of the Giants, we're going to our next category, the NFC East.
Mm-hmm.
Two games, Cowboys, Giants, Eagles, Washington. We'll start with... I'll give you the scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
If Washington wins, they clinch. Dallas makes it if they win and Washington loses.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants make it if they win and Washington loses.
Philly's out of it.
Philly's out. Philly. Mm-hmm. The Philly fans have been put out of their misery. Now they can go on to freaking out about Markelle Fultz, who lit it up again for Orlando. And I'm not even sure that was Elton Brand's worst trade.
Really?
Giving away Markelle Fultz for a top 20 protected pick of Jonathan Simmons when Markelle Fultz was 20 years old. Markelle Fultz now is like a legitimate keeper. And they gave him away for like 10 cents on the dollar. And it might not have been one of his three worst trades.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Elton Brand, everybody.
That's not part of the process, you don't think? It's a different process?
He was the bathroom process.
Mm.
Cowboys, Giants, it's in Dallas. The Giants just look...
It's in New York, right?
Oh, it's in New York?
Yeah, it's in New York. Yeah.
Oh, good catch. Well, it's not going to change my opinion on the line. The Giants have just looked awful.
Yeah.
It's like they were... Band-Aid and scotch tape, and they kind of tricked us to thinking they were frisky and the defense, and meanwhile, they were just playing shitty offenses.
Yeah, the offense doesn't show up.
Your team can move the ball. And the rejuvenated Ezekiel Elliott, rejuvenated. I have the Cowboys favored by 4.5.
Oh. Well, that's a little silly. I said +2. Giants +2. It's +2.5, so I get it.
Cowboys +2.5. Cowboys -2.5.
Cowboys -2.5. This is still the Cowboys. Let's not get crazy. Let's please not get crazy. I know they have all of the shiny parts, but it's Mike McCarthy.
Listen, it's more fun for the NFL, for football fans, for America, and for society at large if Dallas wins the NFC East. Because then we would have Dallas against Tampa.
Probably, yeah.
On Saturday night in the Blood Diamond Memorial Tears game, the Saturday night Blood Diamond game, Dallas Tampa. You know, that'll be the game. They have to do that one.
That one makes sense.
And then, I don't know. Tampa losing to Dallas would be fucking hilarious.
Can I just, did Freddie Kitchens call the offense again? I didn't check up on this. Was Jason Garrett back? Because you know that's going to happen. Jason Garrett comes back next week and just demoralizes the Cowboys defense.
Oh, that's another good one.
Oh, that'd be the funniest of
all. So many fun things. God, I'm really having a good time. The other one is Eagles, Washington. This one's in, it's in Philly.
Right.
Washington needs to win. So it's either Haskins, who was so bad that I won't even read some of Joe House's texts of his disappointment in Haskins. But there was a weird moment.
He bought it back in his post-game presser. He kind of said it is what it is, which is what you want to hear from a quarterback who really just needs to win 7 games to take the division.
He was truly terrible in that game.
And bad there was week for him.
Weird moment, 4th and 19, there's a timeout, and he ran on the field, and it seemed like he was replacing Heineken. But it was like he came out to tell him something, and then he ran back, and there was like silence from the announcers. Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That was so weird.
Right.
And then everybody else was like, what's Haskins doing? I don't know if he was asking the guy for $1 bills for tonight or going on.
I was like, no, I just need to tell you, change of plans. We're not going to the tender trap. We're going to be at the nifty nipple. All right? Okay, do your thing. Try to win.
I like every time somebody mentioned Haskins all week, it was like Dwayne Haskins stripped of his captaincy. It's like Dwayne Haskins was a captain? What kind of team is this? He's not even going to be in the NFL next year.
Oh, what a mess that Washington team is.
Well, Washington can win the NFC East if they just beat the Eagles, who gave up 730 passing yards today.
Jesus.
It's just because of the quarterback situation. I could not go higher than Washington by one.
Yeah, you were closer. I thought Washington, Washington by one.
Yeah.
I said Eagles by 3.5. And it is Eagles by 1.5. So who gets that? I think I do, right?
You got it. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. So with that said, Eagles favored, Cowboys favored. Cowboys winning the division is the favored outcome.
So the Eagles gave up 38 straight points today?
Yeah, it sounds right.
And they're favored in the next game against the team that is favored to win the NFC East. What a division.
I don't see them doing Dallas any favors either.
This division was like a documentary.
Beautiful.
So who do we think is actually winning this division? I would say the Cowboys.
It is weird that they're favored. And they're favored to win the division right now, now that I look at it. It can't happen. I'm telling you. That Jason Garrett, he's a snake. I know he's got something in store. There's going to be some dumb trick play where Daniel Jones catches a touchdown, runs 70 yards after a screen pass that he catches.
So Jason Garrett beating the Cowboys and knocking them out of the playoff spot that not only did you not want, your body was rejecting it like a kidney transplant for weeks on end. And then somehow he could still fuck you out of another playoffs, though he's out of your life.
That's
a pretty good scenario. I was thinking the other really good scenario. I hope Kyle's videotaping this because this is a social media breakout, this whole combo, if I've ever heard one. The other one is Alex Smith. Mm-hmm. They figure out a way to get him out there for week 17. He's got like freaking 2x4s strapped to both of his legs. He's just... Right. And he's out there, and it's basically the Any Given Sunday Dennis Quaid scenario where to teach Willie Beeman a lesson, he goes out an incredible amount of pain and just is awesome for a half, but gets the shit kicked out of him. And then halftime, Ron Rivera gives the Pacino speech. And Haskins, who was counting dollar bills in front of his locker for getting ready for that night, gets so inspired, he starts walking toward Rivera. You know, like Jamie Foxx in the movies, the words are just, and then he goes in and Haskins wins the game in the second half for Alex Smith in the Washington team. And then instead of going to the strip joint that night, just goes home.
Stuffs the dollar bills down Ron Rivera's bra, goes out there, wins the game.
He takes a wad of $1 bills and puts it in Rivera's fanny pack.
Unbelievable.
And then goes out there and throws 2 touchdowns.
Well,
and then Joe House buys a Haskins jersey. So that's the other scenario. One of those two, I don't know. What a division. We're going to take a break and then do the rest of the lines. This episode is supported by State Farm. Your first reaction after an accident probably a swear. Your first reaction after you lease or buy a car and you get into it for the first time, probably just sheer delight. Really, the only words you need to remember are, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. State Farm has options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to somebody. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Learn more at statefarm.com. This episode is brought to you by Vrbo. You know, it is already stressful enough to deal with airports, delayed flights, bad weather. You want your actual where you're staying experience to be perfect, to be lights out. You don't want to have to worry about anything. When you book a vacation rental, you want to know exactly what you're paying ahead of time. The stress of getting hit with unexpected cleaning fees after your stay, that can immediately cancel out all the great time you just spent unwinding. Thankfully, when you book with Vrbo, you can see the total price upfront. There are no unpleasant surprises, and the savings do not stop there, my friends. When you book with Vrbo, you earn 2% cash back toward your next vacation through the One Key Rewards program, letting your money do the work for you while you've got your feet up. So while other vacation rentals can feel like a roll of the dice, relax knowing you booked a Vrbo. Book your next private vacation rental in the Vrbo app. Okay, man, we still have more games with playoff implications. This seventh seed is really something. The NFC, one seed at stake. Three games here. Packers, Bears, Saints, Panthers, Seahawks, 49ers. If the Packers beat the Bears, they are a one seed. If the Bears beat the Packers, they make the playoffs. The Bears can make the playoffs anyway if the Cardinals lose.
Mm-hmm.
So those are all of our scenarios there.
And then if the
Packers lose, then the Saints can beat the Panthers. They become the one seed. If the Packers and Saints lose, the Seahawks can then somehow sneak in if they beat the Niners. And if all three teams lose, I don't know what the fuck happens.
No, but if they're all 12-4, it gets
super. Yeah, because then we have conference records and who the hell knows.
We need Kornacki here. This gets too crazy. Yeah.
Kornacki, they screwed him. He was doing his thing today and the graphic wouldn't come up. And he started doing it on memory. It was really impressive.
So what do you think happens? So when CNN, when they touch the screen, I believe that they're actually touching the screen and it's making shit change. And the Sunday night, I don't even think they care. They're just like, they're reading his cadence. And when he goes to point, they change it. Except they forgot to change it. Like, normally, I think he has control over his actual, his tangible control over the board. But yeah, they did screw him. They didn't switch the screen on him.
When I did the NBA draft with Jalen those 2 years.
Yeah.
I got to use the touch screen.
You did.
And I really took it seriously. And I really wanted to do well. When I did it, I think one of them's on YouTube, but it was like we're moving players around.
It works.
And but it's hard because you're also trying to remember what you're saying, but at the same time, it's these two different muscles that aren't related to each other. And you're on live television.
Yeah, you're like playing a video game and cooking dinner at the same
right.
time.
It's like you're playing Miss Pac-Man while you're also talking to five people. Yeah. All right, NFC one seed. The Packers are in Chicago. This to me was the classic. I think I nailed this. The classic 3.5.
You're going to be closer. I don't know why I said 3. I really leaned in on the Bears needing it more, but it's 4.5.
Mm.
So you get that. Is this, I want to ask for one thing. How about this game is good? How about they make this game good? They talk about this being the greatest rivalry of all of football. Can you remember one Packers-Bears game that meant anything? There was a playoff game about 6 or 7 years ago where I don't even remember the Bears quarterback's name, but he was in there because Cutler got hurt. Maybe it was more than 7 years ago. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember that game.
Yeah.
Kyle Orton.
Was it Orton? I don't even know if it was Orton. It was Henny. I don't know what it was.
Cowboy Bob Orton?
It was Cowboy Bob Orton. He still had the cast on, and they lost. Green Bay won and went to the championship, but for the greatest rivalry in football, can we have a memorable game between these two teams? I think this should be the one.
I remember when the Khalil Mack trade, that first Monday night game was a good one. Remember that? They'd made the trade and Khalil Mack showed up against Rodgers. Yeah, it was Sunday night. Okay, that was a fun one.
All right. Okay. Let's have more.
Other than that, I can't remember a single Bears-Packers game.
Greatest rivalry. 100
who
years.
Says this is the best rivalry?
Oh, everybody. You say, like, when they kicked off the 100th year with this game. I think that's what you're talking about. Like, when to kick off the 100th NFL season, no better rivalry is going to do it. And it's going to be Packers. Like, it gets me crazy.
I think Kingsbury, Anthony Lynn, even though they've never coached against each other, that's going to be the best rivalry in sports history. Yeah.
Let's see how this Washington Philly thing turns out.
All right, second one, Saints in Carolina to play the Panthers, where I feel like Drew Brees has lost 12 times in his career. It's probably been three, but it was three. I bumped this a little high just because they know that we know we want to tease this. Mm-hmm. So I put it at Saints 7.5, which I think is going to be too high.
Oh, wow. You're right. It is too high. I said 4.5. It's 5.
Hmm.
And I don't know that Alvin Kamara's miracle game means that Drew Brees is back. What were his numbers? Was he 19 for 26 with two interceptions? Am I reading that right?
He looks like he doesn't seem happy, Drew Brees.
Yeah.
Because he's 11 broken ribs.
Yeah, he's got broken ribs protecting his heart. I think you're right, though. When he goes to Carolina, it's too sun. It's sunny. He has to wear the eye black. He wears it unnecessarily. Anyway, yeah. This could be a little bit of a trap game. The Panthers look good today.
I'm going to dislike Alvin Kamara for the rest of my life. Every time I see his face or hear his name, I'm going to think of the time he ruined my Christmas.
Yeah.
When he scored 54 points in our fantasy league, which had only been done 19 other times in the history of football. And he did it against my team that was trying to win a fantasy title on Christmas.
How about I almost lost? I would have been the only idiot in the country who lost with Alvin Kamara on his roster.
Last one. You're not sorry. Seahawks at San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing the Seahawks are back thing. We should talk about that game. That was the one game we didn't talk about.
The Rams? Seahawks? Yeah.
Because Jared Goff's another one on my do not bet list.
Between you.
I'm never doing it again.
Brother Bry, everybody wishing Jared Goff that he should die. All this stuff. I was like, oh, man. But
I don't wish he dies. I just wish he wouldn't play football on a game that I gambled on anymore.
Goff is the perfect zigzag, though, right? He has a bad game, and then Sean McVay sits him down, and it's like, all right. Oh, and then he looks human again. It didn't happen. Didn't zag today, Bill. Didn't zag.
I feel like I nailed that game. I had it perfect. I didn't think the Seahawks were going to be able to move the ball. Mm-hmm. And I thought the Rams only needed 20 points and they were going to win. And it was just like, just steer the car, Jared. Just steer it straight. you see those signs and those guardrails? Don't hit those. Just keep it straight. Keep it between the two dotted lines. That's all you have to do. Hand the ball off. Do some play action. He just couldn't do it. He threw the worst pick. Aikman never gets mad at QBs ever. It's like this weird QB.
He's all over.
He's like a kinship thing. And he was destroying him for an hour.
Yeah, I liked it.
But he threw that one interception. They do the replay from behind Goff. And Aikman's like, Joe, I don't know what he was looking at there. I don't know who that was to, Joe. I have no idea.
Yeah. And it's the same thing. Like, Aaron Donald's great. And Leonard Floyd, I think, had 5 tackles or something, 2 sacks. Like, you don't need to do much to win. But the one thing I'll say about Russ, and you know, people will be like, the Seahawks are back. One thing I'll say is he doesn't have to throw 4 touchdowns for them to win anymore, right?
True.
So it doesn't have to be 34-30 anymore, especially if they're playing a team like the Rams. I don't know how many more offenses there are like that in the playoffs, but they'd be lucky to meet up with the Rams again.
Sometimes they overreact when somebody makes an awesome play. But Adams did make an unbelievable play in that game when he came across the entire field to tackle Henderson, who was going in the end zone.
Right.
And I have no idea how he read it. It was like watching a video game when somebody's character has superpowers. He was on the right side of the line. He gets the snap perfectly and just started sprinting to the other side and tipped him by a sneaker. And then the Rams ended up not punching it in.
I know.
And that was the game. And that was the best play I saw all day.
Teaser killer. I thought I was so smart. Adding 6, getting 7.5 with the Rams. It was good all game, except for...
Well, we're gonna hit the Rams in a second. I have the Seahawks by 4.5 in San Francisco. Although it's not San Francisco.
I get it. It's 3.5. I said 3.
You're beating me again this week.
1, 2, 3.
I'm like the Steelers. I started out great, and then I just...
It's 6-5. You could still catch up here.
All right, next category. NFC playoff spot on the line. Rams, Cardinals. This is in LA. Cardinals can make it if they win and the Bears lose. There's a world in which the Rams don't make it. And I had the Rams to win the division, which too. I forgot. And then bet the Rams again today when the move, I should have bet the Seahawks and just hedged it because I had great, I had like plus 850 Rams to win the division. I'm a moron. Don't forget that. But this is really a loser leaves town match. And I don't understand why they wouldn't have made this a Sunday night game unless they were afraid of the Bears winning.
No, I think they're afraid of Goff not playing because the backup is this guy, John Wolford from Wake Forest.
Yeah.
I don't think they want to be stuck with Wolford, although they might be stuck with Heineken instead. So I don't know what the difference is really. But yeah, I'd rather see this game than the Eagles-Washington team.
I thought Blake Bortles was their backup, and I was really disappointed. I don't know who John Wolford is.
But Blake Forest, baby. I'm on the board. I'll put in a good word for you. That's our agent, James Baby.
So is there a line on this?
There is no line on this. But I would have said if Goff is with a wrapped up thumb starts, I would have thought 4.5. What do you think?
The wrapped up thumb was the excuse Goff needed. I would have said 4 or 4.5.
Okay.
But yeah, the Cardinals. It's a pretty nice spot for them all of a sudden. Because the Packers actually need that Bears game.
Mm-hmm.
The Cardinals, who have really looked like dog crap for 2 months, they're going against a QB who's going to have a broken thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And I still feel like Cliff Kingsbury can screw this up.
Yeah. It's a monumental game for Cliff Kingsbury to get in at 9-7 against beating the Rams would be a big spot.
Cliff's going to be coaching like, does Pepperdine have a football team? I'm trying to think of like a...
I don't think so.
No, they don't. He's going to be coaching who? Give me some...
Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. They do have a team.
Okay, that's Cliff's next job. Cliff, we're on to you.
Do you know the Rams could get that 5 spot?
Yeah.
So that...
Who do you... Yeah, the Rams...
They could win. If they win and Tampa loses, they're playing the Giants... Washington, Philly, or Dallas winner, whatever.
Rams defense is among the people I feel the worst for this season.
Sure.
Because they went toe-to-toe with Seattle for like 52 minutes, and mm-hmm. then Goff finally fucked up again. And they had that thing, they showed Jalen Ramsey like kind of consoling Goff before he went back on the field. And then their defense rolled over. And that was when you got some Tyler Lockett fantasy points. But
You're gonna read about the Rams defense and Deshaun Watson opting out, and then like, oh yeah, COVID scares you. Like, nah, we're just sick of our teams. We just can't. We keep showing up, and nothing's reciprocated, and it's terrible.
It's so funny when you watch that live, though, when you know the defense has kind of lost the will to live,
mm-hmm.
where it's like, all right, fine, we get another stop. It's not going to help. Right. We're not. Our offense isn't scoring. We're screwed.
Yeah, we need a pick six, otherwise we're done.
Last one with any sort of playoff implications is Bucks-Falcons. It's in Tampa. Falcons had yet another miraculous loss today. Koo. Mm-hmm. Koo, my guy, missed it. To tie it, would have sent it to OT.
Yeah.
Tampa's just has stepped in shit this whole season. They it's amazing.
You can't give them credit.
It's amazing. I just can't.
You can't do it.
It's like, look at them destroy this Detroit team that is on their third coach. I have the Bucks by 8.
All right, I got this exactly right. It's only 6 right now.
Hmm.
Because the Falcons are a dumb team. The Falcons they played what, 2 weeks ago? Last week? They played last week, right? Falcons were winning by 10 or 13.
No, they're up by 2 touchdowns.
2 touchdowns? 14.
Yeah.
That sounds right. But yeah, like I said, if the Bucks lose and the Rams win, the Rams get that 5 seed going against the NFC East winner.
The Bucks are in regardless.
They're in.
There you go. I think we nailed all the scenarios.
Yep.
4 more games. We'll go through them quick. Vikings at Detroit.
Yeah, just go through it. Yeah, yeah.
I had the Vikings by 3.
I had 3 also, and it's 6.
Oh,
they're
really
giving up on the Lions. I think they've seen enough. Any offense that could produce 150 yards.
I was driving yesterday, listening to the radio announcers talk about the Lions and Matt Stafford because he had gotten hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, could this have been his last Lions game?
Mm.
And the other guy was like, I hope not. He's had such a great career for them. I'm like, he has? I can't remember like 2 Matt Stafford playoff games.
You know, I can't either. And then they put up stats like quickest to 10,000 yards or something stupid. Like it's him, yeah. It's Rodgers, it's all the good, you know, it's all the greats. And, but you and I think of him as just a guy who gets fourth quarter. Pat, they call him Pad Stafford. Our friend Rob Parker calls him that. Pad Stafford. Pad Statford. Yeah, that's what it'd be.
Pad Statford?
Pad Statford. Yeah, it's a stretch. But and then people really defend him. Like, this team would be so much worse without him. You don't want to see what it's like. Well, see what it's like on Thanksgiving the other day.
Can't be that much worse.
Yeah.
I would take him for the Patriots over Cam Newton.
Oh, God, yeah.
Next one, Chiefs, Chargers. I don't know what to do with this.
Let me check this one. We might want to skip. Let me see what
Chiefs have clinched everything, but Mahomes still has MVP campaign stuff. Maybe
sure he does.
Andy Reid, I'm sure there's some specific way he plays this scenario in Week 17. But if you remember a few years ago, this was when they started Mahomes in that one game.
That's right. That was
and they clinched
only
everything.
Game.
So my guess is they're throwing this game away.
I don't see a line on this. So
all right. I would have said Chiefs by 3.
I had 3 also. I just haven't seen anything.
Patriots, Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Sad one. I had the Pats by 4.
Oh, wow. Oh, you're going to get it, too. I had 11, and it's 7.
Yeah, the Jets are pretty frisky. And then last but not least.
You know, the Jets will try here, right? I guess they'll try. Yeah, because they're locked into the 2. I didn't realize that.
Why wouldn't they try?
All right.
Broncos, Raiders. I had the Broncos by 1 at home over the
Raiders. Wait, you need to win this to tie me, and you don't get it. I said Broncos 2.5. It's 2.
Ah.
So I win that weird week to win, but. And now it's 9-6-2 in your favor out of 17
weeks. Wow, you're still in there. You haven't been mathematically eliminated yet.
I guess I have to win the last 4, yeah.
You have to win all the playoff rounds.
Yep.
Even though I lost, I'm going to give you this gift. Even though you beat me in fantasy and you beat me in guest lines, I thought of a nickname for James Harden.
What is it?
Jimbo Slice. Because he's really looking like Kimbo. He beefed up. He really looks like Kimbo Slice now. Just Jimbo Slice.
I was saying
it's
he
good.
Looked like
Kimbo. Somebody should trademark it.
I didn't do the Jimbo thing, but it's funny. I said he looked like Kimbo Slice a couple weeks ago when that picture
Jimbo
came out.
Slice puts up 44 against Portland.
It's really good. Yeah.
All right. It's time for Parent Corner.
Oh, yeah.
All right. It's time for Parent Corner brought to you by CarMax. This is our last CarMax read of 2020. By the time we finish 2021, both South Sun and my daughter will be driving. Maybe they'll be using CarMax, America's number one used car retailer. Whether you're buying or selling, our friends at CarMax are on your side. With the 7-day money-back guarantee at CarMax, you've got a full week to decide if it's the right car for you or simply return it for a full refund, no questions asked. And if it's time to sell, stop by CarMax today to get a custom offer on your car. You can leave with payment in hand or take a week to think it over. Car buying, car selling, the way it should be at CarMax. Check them out today, CarMax.com. Sal, you spent the holiday with your family. I can only imagine what you have for us for Parent Corner.
Actually, I didn't see the kids at all this week. No, I did. You celebrate Christmas, right, Bill?
Yes.
We have a tradition in our family that goes back before I was born. Like our cousin Jimmy was around for the first of these. And that's that my father dresses as Santa. I have to be careful that the little one, although you'll see that it doesn't really matter. But my father dresses as Santa and gives all the kids in the family a gift. You know, the parents set aside one gift and, oh, this is from Santa. It's in different wrapping paper from all the others. So my father has the same suit that he's had since 1968, same freaking one, same gloves, same everything, beard. I guess he's got new cotton for the beard and he just sticks a pillow on his stomach, but he's now going to be 80 years old next year. So it takes him a little longer to get in the suit and he's dressing and I'm watching the door to make sure none of the kids see him walk in. And then all of a sudden a hearty, oh, ho, ho, ho. And usually we have a lot of kids around, all the kids in the family, but because of COVID, it was just my 3 boys, my 2 oldest ones, no already. And like I said, he's been doing it for, Jimmy was the first one to figure it out 52 years ago or 48 years ago, probably when he was 4, that Santa was my father. So it's basically over because my youngest kid figured it out. He sits on my father's lap. My father doesn't really try to change his voice at all, which is a bad thing. And then after Santa went away, even though my son got exactly what he had asked Santa for in the list he sent, he's like, yeah, that was Papa. And I was like, ah, shit. It's like, yeah. Why do you think that? He's like, well, no, because he smelled like Papa and he talked just like him. He smelled like him.
Smelled like
him. And I was like, Dad, I don't know. We got to spray you with some pine or some kind of Kris Kringle dust or something next time. But I think it's over. A tradition, a 53-year-old tradition.
Well, wait a second, though. What about Billy Kimmel?
So the younger ones too, I guess. Yes, if COVID ever shows some relief and we can get all the kids together, we could do it. But in my family, as far as my spawn's concerned, it's over. But I guess he could.
Wow.
Do it. He'll be 81. A little sad to add on top of all the sadness around us.
Jesus,
you have something better.
Your family's big on scents because when we went to Italy once, yeah. The guy who was working on the big house we were staying in.
Yeah.
He had this BO that reminded you and Jimmy of, who's it, your grandfather?
My grandfather, yeah. Mine and Jimmy's grandfather, yes. I bought the shirt from the guy.
Yes, yeah. So then at the end of the trip, you bought his BO shirt.
Yeah.
You brought it back to the United States.
I did.
Because it smelled like your grandfather.
It really did. It smelled just like him. Then 2 weeks later, it didn't smell like him, and I tried to send it back, and the guy's like, no fucking deal.
Then you put it on eBay, and there were no takers.
Right. That's it.
My parent corner, I have a twist. Uh-huh. We have to bring in Nephew Kyle for this one. Nephew Kyle. Come on in.
Hey.
So you can't come on the FaceTime? Are you afraid to see us?
Come on, Kyle. What are you
come
doing?
Come on, Kyle. Don't be a dick. Where is he? There he is.
Oof. All right. Yeah, maybe you should go up.
So we had a distance hang with Nephew Kyle and his lovely girlfriend, mm-hmm. and my wife's parents, otherwise known as my father and mother-in-law.
Right.
And my children, we hung out outside for a couple hours. And during the course of those couple hours, I realized that Kyle was going to be covering this week's Parent Corner because of the bunny story. Kyle, you have to tell Sal the bunny story.
Oh, shit. Really?
Okay. Yeah, you got it.
All right.
It's almost like Nephew Corner.
Yeah, I guess. So we went to this exotic fish store because I got a fish and I was like tired of going to Petco. And so I was like, what else is out there? We went to this exotic fish store and just looking to see what was out there, and there was this rabbit on the floor in this cage that was super small, and my girlfriend wanted to save it and I did the absolutely not whatever. So then like it wears on me. After 3 days we get it. I go back to New York this summer in August, and this rabbit gives birth to six bunnies while I'm home in New York, and she like took the day off, handled it. And they're still alive and they're still in my care, in our carriage, I should say.
Don't skimp on the story. This goes way deeper.
What else is there?
The bunnies are separated, male and female, because they don't want them to reproduce because bunnies will fuck
That's
like rabbits.
That's why they call it rabbit, yeah.
There's been two male bunnies that had an altercation that was like pretty violent, right?
Now they're separated. So they're in three different spots in my apartment. And it's an apartment. It's not a house. So,
and
oh, no.
And his girlfriend may or may not have gotten a stroller so she could take all the bunnies for a walk.
I was really hoping you were going to say that.
Yeah, that was the best part. So they have a stroller now. And
what?
She takes it for bunny walks. What? And then, you know, my wife, we have four freaking dogs. And my wife's listening to this going, I'll adopt one of the bunnies. I was like, no, I'm out. It's me or the bunny. There's no way we're getting one of these bunnies. It's not happening. We're not taking a bunny.
I thought I had her with that one.
And then she, my wife and my two kids have been asking all weekends if we can get one of the bunnies. And I'm like,
that's great.
We just got this puppy and I'm the only one watching it. The kids are like, they barely do anything.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so Kyle has six. How many bunnies do you have? Six or seven?
We're five.
Five.
Wait, I might have missed this. You started with one? You started with two.
You started with one, but she was pregnant.
Oh, it was a pregnant one. Oh, okay.
But they didn't know. The pet store snookered them.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting.
Do you think the pet store knew?
No, definitely not. This place was a disaster.
Bill, just take a boy and a girl bunny. You'll be fine.
It sounds terrible. So then she's like, I have to try to get people to adopt the bunnies. So we were like, well, we'll talk about it on Parent Corner. Maybe somebody will hit up Kyle in the LA area and we'll want to adopt one of the bunnies.
We'll still have to vet them now, so we'll see.
What do these bunnies do? I still don't understand the what's fun about having a bunny part.
You'd have to ask her. I don't know.
What do they do? They just shit little bunny pellets?
Yeah, they're not. They're like they seem like they're potty trained, but they're not. So you can't really do much.
Yeah, they're nasty. I had two growing up, Hokey and Pokey, and if we let them out of the cage, they weren't like playful. They would just sprint the freak out of there.
You have to worry about wires and stuff.
Yeah, it's a rough one.
There's one more piece of this. Kyle, you have to tell Sal the names of the bunnies.
Yeah. No, I won't do it.
No, you have to.
No, I won't do it.
You have to.
I won't do it.
You have to tell the names.
I won't do it.
You have to do it or I'm going to tweet the names. It'll be worse if I tweet. You just have to say it. Just say it on the pod.
I'm going to say it really fast. You ready?
Yeah.
Winona, Alistair, Harley. Oh, shit. I forgot two of them.
Was there a Fernando?
No. Topanga. And
they have buddies named Winona, Alistair, Topanga.
He's asked for a lifeline. What's the other one?
He doesn't even know the five names.
That was all of them.
This is like Jay-Z as a child. What are you naming these kids?
I didn't know you.
Topanga. Do you live in Topanga?
I like that they have exotic names.
Live in the heart of Hollywood with five rabbits.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Five rabbits great. You can see every once in a while when his girlfriend's walking them around in a stroller.
But the rabbits are okay. You said they can't co-mingle, but they're okay for that stroller.
The girls are together because they can't get each other pregnant and they don't fight each other. The guys are separate. So
in a different stroller or separate in a stroller? What the hell's going on here? What are you talking about?
I really wish you didn't bring this up.
Kyle's like running a troubled youth center, but it's bunnies, not humans.
Oh,
these bunnies, they have to be separated. So wait, is there two strollers or one?
There's one stroller and it's currently disassembled. We're not taking walks. It was an idea, but it's not happening.
Oh, you're not taking walks?
No.
Good idea.
Your girlfriend made it seem like there were some bunny walks.
Oh, there was like one. There was one initially, and then I decided on the walk that I was never going to do it again.
They're not getting exercise on the walks, right? They're sitting in the
They're in a stroller.
I see.
I told them what I would do. I would take the bunnies for a one-way ride to a different part of L.A. And then she comes back from work. It's like, where are the bunnies? Like, I don't know.
They must have
gotten out.
I think that's what my father, aka Santa Claus, did. Maybe CarMax could sponsor that drive you take them on.
By the way, I'm kidding about taking the bunnies for the ride because I think Pete actually listened to this podcast. They're going to be mad. Pete is make sure you're taking care of the bunnies properly.
It's not an option.
No, we're taking them for a ride to a beautiful bunny farm. That's what you mean.
The only way this story would get better and funnier is if the bunnies somehow managed to reproduce and then they had 15 bunnies.
Well, apparently they could do it through the cage, so they're on separate sides of the room. So
they could do it through the cage?
That's what we heard from one person. They're like, animals. I didn't believe it until I thought, but they can spray through the cage. So I was like, this is insane.
Good idea, I think. I think you should give a couple or all the bunnies to our friend Brad as a consolation prize for losing. Is eliminated.
Yeah, Brad will take care of him.
Yeah.
That'd be great. I think he would like Alistair the most.
Yeah, yeah. Just throw in the Topanga. Stroller. Fine. The stroller would be his only mode of transportation.
All right, Kyle, thanks for joining us at Parent Corner this week.
Nice job, Kyle.
All right, that was Parent Corner brought to you by CarMax, America's number one used car retailer. Car buying, car selling, the way it should be. Check them out today at CarMax.com. Oh, that was great. All right, Sal, what do you got for us?
Well, I am the highest scoring Larchmont League champ of all time in the finals game.
Congrats.
I don't know what to say. Extra points, extrapoints.com. It's me, it's Charlotte Wilder, Dave Damashek. Against all odds on Tuesday, Lemon Pepper Parlay, Waiver Wired. Check it all out on extrapoints.com. Fox Bet Live. I'm working every day this week, Simmons. We don't even get off for New Year's Day, we're going up against Alabama Notre Dame on that stupid show, on that stupid cable show. We're going up against that. But
Jesus,
that's it. But no, I'm not complaining. Happy New Year to everybody. Merry Christmas. Hey, thank you for the deep dish. I had a nice celebratory dinner at the deep. You went crazy with the gold belly for me.
I love gold belly.
my God. And you really hooked me up. And that was,
they have some good deep dishes.
They really do. You know what happens with the Gold Belly? Like it's popular now and everybody sends you shit. And you, I'm like, I said to my wife, I'm like, Melissa, we have to eat all of this the week of the 26th because we're going on a diet January 3rd. So now it's just deep dish every meal, thanks to you. And it was excellent.
That's great. I love overeating on the holidays. It's very enjoyable. Because next time I see you, it will be in 2021. And thank God.
Yeah.
Good job by you.
Good job by you, Belly.
That's it for the BS podcast. Don't forget a new Rewatchables coming tomorrow night. Me, Van Lathan, and Sean Fennessy breaking down Mr. Holland's opus and really laying into Mr. Holland. If you want to hear three people make fun of Mr. Holland's opus, this is the podcast for you. We all kind of like the movie, though. You can check that out. I have at least one more new podcast coming this week as well on this feed. Stay tuned for that. Stay safe. Talk to you soon. This episode of the Bill Simmons Podcast is brought to you by Honey Stinger. This is a show about sports and culture opinions, but right now I want to talk sports facts, the data, the stats. Honey Stinger, sports nutrition, trusted by more than 1,500 pro and college teams. That's right, 1,500. That's all 32 pro football teams. That's 39 pro basketball teams, 29 pro baseball teams, and more that prepare, perform, and recover with the delicious taste of Honey Stinger's energy waffles, chews, gels, and bars. Honey Stinger is the one team's trust. Use code Simmons for 20% off your first order at honeystinger.com. That is S-I-M-M-O-N-S for 20% off your first order at honeystinger.com. This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid, featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.